You're tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. And if you're listening for the first time, welcome, and I'm so happy that you found us. And as always, if you're a returning listener, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me again. I love our time together. As with prior weeks, I will once again explain that we are looking at the lectionary texts assigned for this week, the week of August 7th, 2016, and the lectionary texts are texts that are assigned for each week of the church year. So they're divided into four parts, readings from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and the Gospels. And this episode itself is split into two parts. And in this first part, we'll be looking at and talking about the Old Testament readings from Genesis 15 and Psalm 33. I think both of the texts for this episode, Old Testament texts, both tell us something about waiting and about patience, neither of which I myself am terribly good at, but sometimes I'm great at waiting. I love the anticipation of my birthday or Christmas. I've never been one of those people that wanted to try to find and figure out my presents early. I like that waiting and excitement that builds up before a birthday when you get to open those gifts. But waiting for other things, sometimes waiting for things to get better or waiting for promises to be fulfilled or something maybe that I felt like I've already waited too long for, that is where I have the difficulty. It's harder for me sometimes to see the bigger picture in those cases, to understand the timing that comes from someplace other than myself. So I appreciate both of today's texts for discussing the issues of waiting and timing, and we'll get to those texts shortly. But first, we do have to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about this week's text from the book of Genesis. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. The first text we'll be discussing today is from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. So it is a little bit odd in this text that narratively we've gone backwards in Genesis, because if you remember last week we talked about Genesis chapter 18. Actually, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about Genesis chapter 18, and now this week here we are in the 15th chapter of Genesis. So narratively we've gone backwards. That happens sometimes. We don't always go in a chronological order in the lectionary texts. But before I start talking about this text from Genesis 15, I do want to make one quick note. And if you notice here, it's still Abram as his name. This is before Abram and Sarai become Abraham and Sarah. Remember, their names do change as part of the covenant with God, but this is before that has happened. Now, just for clarity of purposes, I'm going to continue calling him Abraham for today's podcast, because if you try to jump back and forth sometimes between Abram and Abraham, it gets a little confusing, and so just explaining why I read Abram in the text, but I will be referring to him as Abraham while we're discussing it. So, as I said, the last couple of weeks we have been discussing Abraham, and we've been in chapter 18. So this week we've jumped back to chapter 15. If you remember, if you've listened before, 2 weeks ago was the story of the three strangers who visit Sarah and Abraham and reiterate this promise of a son and heir. And in this week's text, we then see the origin of that part of this promise. And, you know, I always like to refer to commentaries to help us get a bit more context to understand a little bit more about what's going on in the text that we're reading for the week. And this week's commentary comes from Terence E. Fretheim, who is a professor, the Elva B. Lovell Professor Emeritus of Old Testament at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. All these titles are such a mouthful. Have you ever noticed that? But Dr. Fretheim says that it's important to recognize that the covenant is not an agreement worked out between Abraham and God. In fact, Abraham, he says, is sound asleep when God makes this covenant with him. He says, see Genesis 15, verse 12. This covenant is a divine promise to Abraham to which God binds the divine self. As such, this covenant is an act of divine self-limitation, wherein God freely chooses to limit the divine freedom for the sake of Abram's future. God will keep this promise, come what may. So, Dr. Fretheim does refer to verse 12, which is beyond this. So we read through verse 6 in this week's text, but it might be good to read what Dr. Fretheim is referring to, this making of the covenant while Abraham is asleep. And so we're going to read now Genesis chapter 15, verses 12 through 21, which say, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know this for certain, that your offspring shall be aliens in a land that is not theirs, and shall be slaves there, and they shall be oppressed for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you shall go to your ancestors in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. God promised Abraham that his descendants would number more than the stars of the skies or the sands of the sea, and yet he and his wife Sarah are old. Sarah is beyond childbearing years and was barren when she was still young enough to have children. So Abraham asks God in what we read originally if his heir is to be a slave in his house. And remember, God made this promise when Abram was asleep. I find this really interesting that a deep sleep fell upon Abram and then God made this promise. So the promise is there. Abram might not know the exact details, the lengths that God has gone to, the details that he has outlined in this promise, but the promise is there, and God always keeps God's covenants. So, in what we read today, God does promise Abraham that his descendants would number more than the stars of the sky. He says, if you can count them, or the sands of the sea, which sounds almost even more impossible to count than the stars in the sky. But Abraham pushes back. He says he has no children, and Eliezer of Damascus is his heir, is a slave in his house supposed to be his heir. And God listens to Abraham's protests and complaints and tells him once again not to be afraid. If you notice, that phrase is repeated over and over and over through about the Old Testament and the New Testament. Do not be afraid. God reiterates that once again and also reiterates that his descendants will be more numerous than the stars. Now, Professor Fretheim points out that it's important to notice in this exchange that Abraham asks questions and God answers them. I always appreciate this about the relationship between Abraham and God, because Abraham asks not only questions but very pointed questions. And it would be understandable if God were upset by those questions, if God were upset that it seems as though Abraham is questioning and If God questioned Abraham's trust and faith, because Abraham seems to be doubting, seems to be arguing here, but instead, God simply answers those questions, not engaging in argument, but simply participating in dialogue. And I mentioned in last week's episode how it does always surprise me that Abraham argues so directly with God in their conversations. And last week we talked about Sodom and Gomorrah when he debated. Remember, he said, well, God, are you going to destroy this place if you find 50 righteous people? And then kept arguing it down, 50, 45, 40, etc. And I'm always surprised because that seems extremely brave and or crazy, but it also gives me comfort because Abraham engages in this dialogue with God. Abraham is in relationship with God and knows that he can bring his full self, his whole being, to his conversations, his relationship with God. And this week's text is no different because it reiterates that relationship between Abraham and God. It's still a conversation between a man and God, but it's also a conversation that has give and take. It's an actual dialogue. And I greatly appreciate how God not only allows Abraham's questions, but engages them and answers them. For me, this is just one more example showing that God really does want to be in that relationship with us, wants us to engage with God in that relationship. God wants to engage with us. God wants us to engage with God. And then another aspect of this week's story that got me to thinking is this. So think of Abraham in the present day. Try to think of this story in more of a current context. How many people do you know who would be comfortable with the concept of promises being fulfilled in the generations to come? Because we know that God keeps God's promises, right? But how would they feel? How would you feel if you knew that God made a promise, but it wouldn't be fulfilled, maybe not even in your grandchildren's time? You don't know which generation it's going to be fulfilled in. Abraham did live to see his son Isaac born, we know that, but he wasn't alive to see the entire promise fulfilled, and he was told that he wouldn't be. And yet we do know that God keeps God's promises and that God's promises to Abraham were fulfilled in time. And we've talked quite a bit in the past few episodes about God's promises and God's timing and how both of those things don't always make sense to us. And I mentioned at the beginning that I am not a patient person, and we are going to talk a little bit more about that. But we do have to take a quick break right now. So when we come back, we'll be talking more about promises, we'll be talking more about patience, we'll be talking more about God's timing and waiting. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about Abraham and the promises that God had made to Abraham about his generations, the generations to come, about his descendants numbering more than the stars of the sky, more than the sands of the sea. And I asked you to imagine that in a more modern context, that this promise involves generations. And Abraham knew that. So his trust in God is impressive. And as I mentioned at the beginning, I'm not always a patient person. So I know that Abraham lived to see the beginning of this promise with the birth of Isaac, but neither he nor Sarah lives to see the entire promise fulfilled, and they were never meant to, because this promise does involve generations, as God mentioned. So once again, I say Abraham's trust and faith in God, to me, is really impressive. In today's world, I think we've gotten used to things being delivered at much faster speeds, obviously much faster speeds than in Abraham's time. I mean, we have things that Abraham would not have even been able to imagine. I mean, for instance, I love my Amazon Prime because I know that packages will be delivered in 2 days. You know, I order this and I know exactly when it will be shipping to me. I love my Kindle because I can check out books from the library using my computer and they just appear immediately, poof, like magic, on my Kindle. I don't even have to leave the house. And speaking of the computer and the internet, can you imagine if we had to go back to dial-up? How many of you would get impatient with having to go back to dial-up? Remember waiting and that obnoxious, horrible noise? Instead of just being able to pop onto your internet whenever you want to, even on your phone? How many of you would get impatient, do get impatient, when a web page takes more than a second or two to load, or when a video starts to buffer in the middle of streaming? We've gotten used to things happening immediately, right now, exactly when we want them to. Instant gratification. And we live in a society where we're told we don't really need to be patient, that we can have that instant gratification on all kinds of levels, not just with our internet, not just with our packages being delivered in 1 or 2 days. So, knowing all of that, can you imagine being given a promise that you will only see a part of? You won't see the full fulfillment of that promise? Can you imagine trusting that the promise will be fulfilled, but that it will take years, even after you are dead, to come into complete fullness? And I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me to imagine. And I'm not that patient, again, a lot of the time. As I said, I can be patient in certain circumstances, but I'm not sure I'd be as patient as Abraham was in this case. Abraham's faith is amazing to me, and it's an amazing example to all of us, not only because he gives us a model of patience and trust in God's promises, but he gives us a model for how to be in relationship with God. Abraham is faithful, patient, and trusting, but when God and Abraham have a dialogue, Abraham isn't afraid to ask God the tough questions. Abraham doesn't wait passively. Instead, Abraham engages with God, continues following God's will for his life, continues having these conversations, continues doing what he has been called to do. Patience doesn't mean passivity. I think sometimes we think of waiting as being passive, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't need to be. God still wants us to be actively engaged in our relationship with God, even when the timing might not be what we want or what we expect. God's reply to Abraham is to tell him not to be afraid. And the passage concludes with Abraham trusting the promise, and his belief is counted as righteousness. And I really appreciate how Professor Fretheim puts this. He says that Abram continues to ask questions in the wake of such a positive statement about his faith is important. He says, the implication, it is not unnatural to faith or unbecoming to the believer that questions persist in the midst of belief. Faith does not stop the questions about God. And I love this because so often people think that the opposite of faith is doubt. But it's not. Doubt is a healthy part of faith. Questioning is a healthy part of faith because we're not going to grow if we don't question what we know, if we don't question and try to find out more information. And Professor Fretheim continues that God will never nullify this promise to Abram or his descendants. At the same time, while God's promise is everlasting, God does not guarantee that every descendant of Abram will participate in its fulfillment. The promise always remains available for believers to cling to, knowing that God remains available to fulfill that promise, but rebellious individuals may not live to see it. Faith does not function as a condition for receiving the promise, but one can, by unbelief, leave the sphere of the promise. God's unconditional promises do not make the recipient's faithfulness irrelevant. Again, I love this because God, you know, as Professor Fretheim says, God will never nullify this promise to Abraham or his descendants, but that doesn't mean that his descendants don't have the freedom of choice. They can still choose to believe in the covenant. They can still choose to participate in the covenant. We still have to actively participate in God's promises because we do have the power of choice. We can choose not to have patience or faith. That doesn't mean the promise isn't going to be there. We can choose not to trust in God. We can choose not to trust in God's promises. And sometimes it does feel easier to not trust or not have patience or not have faith. And so it's at those times when I am so grateful for examples like Abraham, who remind me that active participation in relationship with God is always good and it's always right. And Abraham, I again appreciate for giving me this example, not only of patience, but of active participation, of dialogue with God, continuing to ask God those pointed questions, remain engaged, remain active. And this actually feels like a really good place to transition to our psalm for this week, because it's a psalm that focuses on, you guessed it, waiting. So this week's psalm is Psalm 33, verses 12 through 22. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven, he sees all humankind. From where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the heart of them all and observes all their deeds. A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might it cannot save. Truly the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. So, these are only 10 verses of this psalm, of Psalm 33. It's the second half of the psalm, and yet these 10 verses, to me at least, feel kind of grand and epic. They seem sort of sweeping in scope as I was reading them. Verse 20 is where the waiting is mentioned. Verse 20 says, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. And while waiting, the psalmist seems to be remembering all of God's saving acts throughout history. So once again, we go to a commentary, this time from Adam Harrelson, assistant professor of preaching and worship at Andover Newton Theological School in Newton Center, Massachusetts. And he describes this sense of waiting in a really nice way. He writes, waiting is hard. He is right. He says, waiting is hard. Verse 20 sounds like the psalmist is trying to convince herself that she is not sick and tired of waiting. The truth is, there's no school that teaches us how to wait. The anxieties of our lives seem implacable, and we employ every trick to try and cope in the meantime. We convince ourselves that we have been faithful, that we are happy, and that the wait isn't so bad, but mostly it is miserable. I hear deep need in the final verse of the lectionary passage. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. He continues, hope is no longer enough, O God. Let your love break into our world and justify our hope. As the psalmist copes with waiting, she begins to remember the times when God delivered the people from danger and fed them in times of hunger, treks across the seabed, manna in the wilderness, deliverance and sustenance. When we wait, our minds wander to those times when God delivered us from danger and provided sustenance during the times of need. Times when God was our shield and our help. When we wait, we begin to remember, and remembering soothes our anxiety and renews our hope. And he continues that the psalmist says that the Lord is also watching and waiting. Isn't that interesting? He writes, seated in an easy chair, God has the vantage that we lack. If our lives and decisions are always marked by our finitude and a lack of data, then God's work and actions are marked by a comprehensive view of the world and its people. And yet, given the comprehensive view, the psalmist implies that God, too, is waiting. God is waiting for righteousness to spread, waiting for humans to realize the limits of violence and war, and waiting for those whose waiting is marked by steadfast love. And we're going to talk more about this, actually, but we do have to take our final break. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about the commentary on Psalm 33, how the psalmist is waiting, but how God is also waiting, waiting for righteousness to spread, waiting for humans to realize the limits of violence and war, and waiting for those whose waiting is marked by steadfast love. And when I read this, I think God has the vantage point that we lack, right? I think this is where a lot of my own impatience with waiting can stem from, because God sees the bigger picture that I can't see. And of course, from God's vantage point, God can see how the plans of the world are likely to play out. I have faith and trust in God, deep-seated within me, and yet sometimes I wish I could see just a little bit more of that bigger picture. Just a little bit more so I could, you know, I could maybe have a little more faith in myself and maybe a little more confidence in how things will work out. And yet that's not how life, faith, and trust work. So I appreciate this commentary's perspective that God is also waiting. God is waiting on us and on the whole world to stop waiting passively, to stop being annoyed and impatient, and start doing God's work in the world. Start seeing that God's love can be shared with each other and finding different ways of dealing with the stuff in our lives. It doesn't mean that we don't trust God if we're not waiting passively. And it doesn't mean that we give up on God's promises and just decide to make changes ourselves. We don't say, fine, God, you clearly aren't going to keep your promise, so I'm just going to fix it myself. It's more a matter of, God, we're in this together, and I need to work on this as well while I'm waiting to see the bigger picture that you already see. God makes promises, and God always keeps those promises, but we aren't passive in the covenant. We are in relationship, in a covenantal relationship with God, and being an active participant is part of being in that covenantal relationship. So like Abraham, we are encouraged to engage in active dialogue with God, because how else are we supposed to understand what God wants for us in the world? While waiting is hard, and while God's timing and God's promises don't always play out in exactly the way we think they should, we are still called to do that work. We are still called to share God's love with our neighbors, with our brothers and sisters, and yes, even with our enemies. As you probably know, waiting can be easier if there's something to do to take our minds off of the waiting. So maybe being an active participant in our relationship with God can help us. Maybe to learn to be more patient, maybe to learn to wait in ways that are more productive and less inwardly focused, because often when we are waiting and we are impatient, we're just so focused on ourselves and how we're not getting what we want right now. Even the psalmist in these verses for today is engaged while waiting, because the psalmist is recalling all of God's saving acts throughout history. And this might not seem very active, I mean, he's not physically doing something, but think of the amazing things that God has not only done throughout history, but also done in your own life and in the lives of those around you. When I get impatient, I sometimes try to focus instead on what I know God has already done for me and for the world. And I think the times that I felt hopeless or despondent, when I felt hopeless or despondent, and then something happened to bring light or joy into those dark times. It might not have been something that fixed the situation, but it gave me a glimmer of light in that darkness. It reminded me that I was not alone, that I was in relationship with not only God, but with my brothers and sisters. It reminded me that things could get better. They were a reminder that no matter what happened, good or bad, God is always with me. And God's love is steadfast and eternal. So as the commentator wrote, when we wait, we begin to remember, and remembering soothes our anxiety and renews our hope. So something that I find interesting about the psalm for this week is that we only read the second half. There's 22 verses and we read 12 through 22, but what about those first 11 verses? Well, this is where the joy and the praise comes in, because those verses start out, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle. He put the deeps in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." So I thought the second half was sweeping and epic, and this first half fits right in there. Even though this psalm is in the section of the Psalter that is mostly populated with psalms of lament, here is a psalm that is definitely full of joy and praise. And I've mentioned this before, but this is one of my favorite things about the psalms, how all of the human emotions are represented, and how they all kind of get jumbled and tumbled together, just like they do in real life. This is a good representation of community as well, because in any given time, in any given community, both joy and grief, both lament and praise will be present. And the Psalms help us to remember that all of those emotions are present, regardless of where we might be at any particular moment for ourselves and our own lives. And so I think the praise in the first half of this psalm is a good lead-in to the verses assigned for this week, because they are the foundation, a good foundation for remembering part of the psalm, where the psalmist remembers all of the good things that God has done throughout history, giving good reasons to rejoice in God while waiting on things that might seem like they are taking longer than we think they should. And Dr. James Limburg, who I've mentioned before, who was one of my professors in seminary, actually says he breaks down the psalm into these three parts. He says that this psalm follows the typical pattern of hymns or psalms of praise in the Bible, with imperative plurals calling to praise, such as rejoice, praise, sing, and then followed by reasons for praise, including God's greatness and God's goodness. So we get verses 1 through 3, rejoice, praise, sing. That's the imperative plurals, followed by the reasons for praise, including God's greatness. Those are verses 4 through 12. And then the verses that we read today describe God's goodness, verses 13 through 19. The psalm, he says, is then rounded off with an affirmation of trust, verses 20 through 21, and a request addressed to the Lord in you form, verse 22. And I think reiterating the final line of the psalm is actually an excellent place to wrap up this episode, because what Dr. Limburg was saying, it's an affirmation of trust and a request addressed to the Lord. So no matter what there is, there's the waiting, there's the remembering, there's all of these parts to waiting and to being patient, to being actively engaged in relationship with God, being actively engaged in covenant with God. And yet this psalm ends, "Let your steadfast love be upon us as we live in hope." I love that. I love that line. "Let your steadfast love be upon us as we live in hope." So that's definitely waiting, right? That's definitely trying to be patient. And yet, we know that God waits with us. We know that God's love is always with us. And so we ask that God continue to be with us. "Let your steadfast love be upon us as we live in hope." And I think that's going to be my motto for the week. I'm going to try to live in hope. I'm going to remember that God is with me, that God's love is eternal, God's love is steadfast, and I'm going to try to remember that line when things are going a little crazy. "Let your steadfast love be upon us as we live in hope." And that is actually all the time that we have for this episode. Thank you again for joining me as we discuss the readings from Genesis 15 and Psalm 33 that were assigned for the week of August 7th, 2016. Join me again tomorrow as we move to the New Testament readings from Hebrews 11 and Luke 12. As a reminder, I try to remind you all the time that you can find all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts. We have a lot of them, and there's lots of different topics. You can find all of them at www.gsmcpodcast.com. We would love it if you'd go check out the website. You can download all of those podcasts, not just this one, but all of our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. And we are on social media. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. Just search for GSMC_Bible Study. So thank you for joining me. Once again, thank you for joining me. And always remember that you are a beloved child of God and you live.